leave, I pray, a while.
We have some secrets to confer about.
Now, tell me,
Proteus, what's your will with me?
My gracious lord, that which I would discover, the law of friendship, bids me to conceal. But when I call to mind your gracious favors done to me, undeserving as I am, my duty pricks me on to utter that which else no worldly good should draw from me. Know, worthy prince, Sir Valentine, my friend, this knight intends to steal away your daughter. Myself am I made privy to the plot. I know you have determined to bestow her on Curio, whom your gentle daughter hates, and should she thus be stolen away from you, it would be much vexation to your age. Thus, for my duty's sake, I rather chose to cross my friend in his intended drift than, by concealing it, heap on your head a pack of sorrows which would press you down, being unprevented, to your timeless grave.
Proteus, I thank thee for thine honest care, which to requite, command me while I live. This love of theirs, myself, have often seen. Happily, when they have judged me fast asleep, and oftentimes have purposed to forbid Sir Valentine her company and my court. But fearing lest my jealous aim should err, and so unworthily disgrace the man, a rashness that I ever yet have shunned, I gave him gentle looks, thereby to find what thou thyself has now disclosed to me. And that thou mayst deceive my fear of this, I nightly lodge her in an upper tower, the keys whereof myself have ever kept, and thence she cannot be conveyed away.
No, noble lord, they have devised a means how he her chamber window will ascend, and with a corded ladder fetch her down, for which the youthful lover now is gone, and this way comes he with it presently, where, if it please you, you may intercept him. But, good my lord, do it so cunningly that my discovery be not aimed at. For love of you, not hate unto my friend, hath made me publisher of this pretense.
On mine honour, he shall never know that I had any light from thee of this.
Adieu, my lord. Sir Valentine is coming.
Sir Valentine! Whither away so fast?
Please, it, your grace, there is a messenger that stays to bear my letters to my friends, and I'm going to deliver
them. Be they of much import?
The tenor of them doth but signify my health and happy being at your court.
Nay, then, no matter. Stay with me a while.
I am to break with thee of some affairs that touch me near,
wherein thou must be secret. It is not unknown to thee that I have sought to match my friend, Sir Thurio, to my daughter.
I know it well, my lord. And sure, the match were rich and honourable. Besides, the gentleman is full of virtue, bounty, worth, and qualities beseeming such a wife as your fair daughter. Cannot your grace win her to fancy him?
Trust me. She's peevish, sullen, froward, proud, disobedient, stubborn, lacking in duty, neither regarding that she is my child, nor fearing me as if I were her father. And I may say to thee, this pride of hers, upon advice, hath drawn my love from her. And when I thought the remnant of mine age to have been cherished by her childlike duty, I now am full resolved to take a wife and turn her out to who will take her in. Then let her beauty be her wedding dower. For me and my possessions, she esteems not.
What would your grace have me to do in this?
There is a lady in the city here whom I affect. But she is nice and coy, and naught esteems my aged eloquence, for long ago I have forgot to court. Besides, the fashion of the time is changed. Now, therefore, would I have thee to my tutor, how and which way I may bestow myself to be regarded by her sunbright eyes.
Win her with gifts, if she respect not words. Dumb jewels, often in their silent kind, more than quick words do move a woman's mind.
Aye, but she did scorn a present that I sent her.
A woman sometimes scorns what best contents her. Send her another. Never give her a. For scorn at first makes after love the more. If she do frown, it is not in hate of you, but rather to beget more love in you. If she do chide, it is not to have you gone. Why, the fools are mad if left alone. Take no repulse, whatever she does say. for get you gone. She does not mean away. Flatter and praise, commend, extol their graces.
Though they're so black, say they have angels' faces. That man that hath a tongue, I say, is no man, if with his tongue he cannot win a woman.
But she, I mean, is promised by her friends unto a youthful gentleman of worth, and kept severely from resort of men, but no man hath access by day to her.
Well, then I would resort to her by night.
Aye, for the doors be locked and keys kept safe, but no man hath resort to her by night.
What less but one may enter at her chamber window?
Her chamber is aloft, far from the ground, and built so shelving one cannot climb it without apparent hazard of his life.
Why, then a ladder, quaintly made of cords, to pass up with a pair of anchoring hooks, would serve to scale another hero's tower, so bold Leander would adventure in it.
Now, as thou art a gentleman of blood, advise me where I may have such a ladder.
When would you use it? Pray, sir, tell me that.
This very night. For love is like a child that longs for everything that he can come by.
By 7 o'clock, I'll get you such a ladder.
Brother Hartley, I will go to her alone. How shall I best convey the ladder to them?
It will be light, my lord, but you may bear it under a cloak that is of any length.
A cloak as long as thine would serve the turn.
Aye, my good lord.
Then let me see thy cloak. Well, get me one of such another length.
Why, any cloak will serve the turn, my lord.
How shall I fashion me to wear a cloak? Let me feel thy cloak upon me. Ah. What letter is this same? What's here? To Sylvia. And here's an engine, fit for my proceeding. I'll make so bold to break the seal for once. My thoughts to harbor with my Sylvia nightly, and slaves they are to me that send them flying. Oh, could their master come and go as lightly, himself would lodge where senseless they are lying. My herald thoughts in thy pure bosom rest them, while I, their king, that diver them importune, to curse the grace that with such grace hath blessed them, becomes myself to want my servant's fortune. I curse myself, for they are sent by me, that they should harbor where fair lawn should be. Well, what's here? Sylvia, this night I will enfranchise thee. Tis so. And here's the ladder for the purpose. Why, Theoton, for thou art Neroth's son, wilt thou aspire to guide the heavenly car and with thy daring folly burn the world? Wilt thou reach stars because they shine on thee? Oh, base intruder. Overweening slave, bestow thy fawning smiles on equal mates, and think my patience more than thy desert is privilege for thy departure hence. Thank me for this more than for all the favors which all too much I have bestowed on thee. But if thou linger in my territories, longer than swiftest expedition will give thee time to leave our royal court, by heaven, my wrath shall far exceed the love I ever bore my daughter or thyself. Begone, I will not hear thy vain excuse. But as thou lovest thy life, make speed from hence.
And why not death, other than living torment? To die is to be banished from myself. Sylvia is myself. Banished from her is self from self. A deadly banishment. What light is light if Sylvia be not seen? What joy is joy if Sylvia be not by? Unless it be to think that she is by and feed upon the shadow of perfection. Except I be by Sylvia in the night. There is no music in the nightingale. Unless I look on Sylvia in the day, there is no day for me to look upon. She is my essence, and I leave to be, if I be not by her fair influence fostered. illumined, cherished, kept alive. I fly not death to fly his deadly doom. Tarry I here, I but attend on death. But fly I hence, I fly away from life.
So hold, so hold. What does that say? Him that we seek, there's not a hair on his head, but 'tis of Valentine. Valentine? No. Who then? His spirit? Neither. What then? Nothing. Can nothing speak, master? Shall I strike? Who would thou strike? Nothing.
Then I'll forbear. I'll strike nothing, sir. I tell you, I say forbear. Friend Valentine, a word.
My ears are stopped. I cannot hear good news. So much bad already hath possessed them.
In dumb silence will I bury mine, for they are harsh, untunable, and bad.
Is Sylvia dead?
No, Valentine.
No, Valentine, indeed, for sacred Sylvia. Hath she forsworn me?
No, Valentine.
No, Valentine, if Sylvia hath forsworn me. What is your news?
Sir, there is a proclamation that you are banished.
That thou art banished.
That's the news.
From hence, from Sylvia, and from me, thy friend.
Oh, I have fed upon this woe already. And now, accessory, it will make me surfeit. Does Sylvia know that I am banished?
Aye. Aye, and she hath offered to the doom which unreversed stands in effectual force a sea of melting pearl, which some call tears. Those at her father's churlish feet she tended, with them upon her knees her humble self, wringing her hands, whose whiteness so became them as if but now they waxed pale for woe. But neither bended knees nor pure hands held up, sad sighs, deep groans, nor silver-shedding tears could penetrate her uncompassionate sire. But Valentine, if he be ta'en, must die. Besides, her intercession chaffed him so when she for thy repeal was suppliant that to close prison he commanded her with many bitter threats of biding.
No more, unless the next word that thou speak'st has some malignant power upon my life. If so, I pray thee, breathe it in mine ear as ending anthem of my endless dolour.
Cease to lament for that which thou canst not help, and study help for that which thou lamentest. Time is the nurse and breeder of all good. Here, if thou stayest, thou canst not see thy love. Besides, thy staying will abridge thy life. Hope is another star. Walk hence with that, and manage it against despairing thoughts. Thy letters may be here, though thou art hence, which, being writ to me, shall be delivered even in the milk-white bosom of thy love. Come, the time now serves not to expostulate. I'll convey thee to the city gate. And ere I part with thee, confer at large on all that may concern thy love affairs. As thou lovest Sylvia, though not for thyself, regard thy danger and along with me.
I pray thee, Launce, and if thou seest my boy, that he make haste and meet me at the north gate.
Go, sir, seek him out. Come, Valentine.
Oh, my dear Sylvia. Hapless Valentine.
I am but a fool, and yet I have the wit to think my master is a kind of knave. But that's all one, if he be but one knave. He lives not now that knows me to be in love. And yet, I am in love. But a team of horse shall not pluck that from me, nor who 'tis I love. And yet, 'tis a woman. But what woman, I will not tell myself. And yet, 'tis a milkmaid. And yet it is not a maid, for she hath had gossips. And yet 'tis a maid, for she is her master's maid and serves for wages. She has more qualities than a water spaniel, which is much in a bare Christian. Here is the cake log of her condition. Imprimis. She can fetch and carry. Why, a horse can do no more. Nay, a horse cannot fetch, but only carry. Therefore she is better than a jade. Item, she can milk. A sweet virtue in a maid with clean hands.
How now, me alone? What news of your mastership?
My mastership? Why, 'tis at sea.
Well, you'll bite still. Say the word. What news then in your paper?
The blackest news that ever thou heardst.
Why, man, how black?
Why, as black as ink.
Let me read them.
Aye, fire me, jolted. Thou canst not read.
Thou liest, I can.
I will try thee. Tell me this. Who begat thee?
Married the son of my grandfather.
Oh. Illiterate loiterer. It was the son of thy grandmother. This proves thou canst not read.
Come, fool, come. I'm in the paper.
Here, and St. Nicholas be thy speed.
Imprimis. She can milk.
She can that.
Item. She brews good ale.
And thereof comes the proverb. A blessing of your heart, you brew good ale.
Item. She can sew.
That's as much as to say, can she sew?
Item. She can knit.
What need a man care for a stock with a wench when she can knit him a stock?
I said, she can wash and scour.
A special virtue, for then she need not be washed and scoured.
I said, she can spin.
Then may I set the world on wheels when she can spin for her living.
I said, she has many nameless virtues.
That's as much as to say bastard virtues that indeed know not their fathers and therefore have no needs.
Here follow her vices.
Close on the heels of her virtues.
I said, she is not to be kissed fasting in respect of her breath.
That fault may be mended with a breakfast. Read on.
Item, she hath a sweet mouth.
That makes amends for her sour breath.
Item, she doth talk in her sleep.
It's no matter for that, so that she sleep not in her talk.
Item, she is slow in words.
Oh, villain that set that down among her vices. To be slow of words is a woman's chief virtue. I pray you out with it and set it down for her chief virtue.
Item, she is proud.
Out with that too. That is Eve's legacy and cannot be taken from her.
Item, she hath no teeth.
I care not for that neither, because I love crusts.
Item, she is cursed.
Well, the best is she hath no teeth to bite.
Item, she will often praise her liquor.
Oh, if her liquor be good, she shall. For if she will not, I will, for good things should be praised.
Item, she is too liberal.
Of her tongue, she cannot be, for that's writ down she is slow of. Of her purse, she shall not be, for that I'll keep shut.
Now, of another thing,
she may be, and that cannot I help.
Well, proceed. Item, she hath more hair than wit, and more faults than hairs, and more wealth than faults.
Stop there, I'll have her. She was mine, and not mine, twice or thrice in that last article. I rehearse that once more.
Item, she hath more hair than wit.
More hair than wit. That may be, and I'll prove it. The cover of the salt hides the salt, and therefore it's more than the salt. The hair that hides the wit is more than the wit, for the greater hides the less. What's next?
And more faults than hairs.
That's monstrous. Oh, that were out.
And more wealth than faults.
Why, that word makes the faults gracious.
However, and if it be a match, as such things are not impossible.
What then?
Why, then I will tell thee that thy master stays for thee at the north.
Me?
I what? Thou hast stayed for a better man than he.
I must go to him.
Thou must run to him, for thou hast stayed so long ago and will scarce serve the turn.
Why didst not tell me sooner? Pop to your love letter.
Now will he be swinged for reading of my letter, an unmannerly slave to thrust himself into secrets. I will after and rejoice in the boy's correction.